popping off the griddle. Pull up on a kid if you're trying to get belittled. All the mamas love me now, I think I'm being brittle. Flex the rainbow.
Welcome to Plates and Pancakes. We're sitting down today with Colin Brown, volunteer assistant coach at Archie and minister at the Archie Methodist Church. Colin's from Bramer, Missouri?
Yes.
And a wife, kids?
I've got two kids, a second grader and a four-year-old.
Oh, so little ones.
Yeah, they're living in Lee Summit right now.
So, okay, so not terribly far away.
No.
And you went to college at, let me not jump ahead. I assume you played football at Bramer.
Played football, basketball, yep.
All around, run track.
My dad made me a couple times. After running the 800, I decided I was done with track. And so I was too big for that.
But yeah. I was going to say 800 does not seem like your event.
It was difficult, yeah. It was not for me.
So you went to college. You went to Missouri from 04 to 08.
Yes.
And then from there, you were able to get drafted by the Chiefs?
Yeah, drafted by the Chiefs in 09, and then 10, I went to camp with the Chiefs, went and played in the UFL for 10 weeks, spent 3 weeks on the practice squad in Baltimore, and the last 3 weeks of the year in Buffalo. And then I was out in Buffalo for parts of the next 4 years.
So how was that, going from Bramer, Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, to Buffalo?
Buffalo is a lot like Kansas City, just a lot colder.
Okay.
Like the first night I got there, they had 3.5 feet of snow. They had just gotten that day, and it would melt a little bit, and then it'd snow right back on top of it. For the 3 weeks I was there, it was miserable. But then it never did that again the next 3 years I was there. And so it turned out to not be that big a deal.
Not that big of a deal. Get used to it pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. And they had beautiful summers, so it was worth it.
So the number one question is, how are their wings?
I'm not a chicken guy.
Okay.
We had to eat too many boiled chicken breasts in college. I can't eat chicken anymore, so... I don't know that I ever even had them the whole time I was out there. They had a lot of good food, great Italian, but I avoided the chicken wings.
All right. I just didn't know, you know, if they're known for it, I figured maybe you had some here.
I'm sure
they're
very good. Yeah.
Do you have any previous coaching experience now that you're helping Archie? Do you have anything in your past?
Sort of. I helped out at Bramer a couple years back for a game or two. And then last year, beginning week three, I helped at Bramer for the rest of the season. And so that was my first ever experience with 8-man. I had never seen a game until last season, but I got kind of hooked in last year, and I've had a blast with it ever since.
So how did Archie work out? Did you go to them? Did they find out you were in town? How'd that work out?
I got appointed as the pastor, right? And so I showed up, and I had been intending to reach out to Smith. I hadn't got it done yet, and one of the moms on the team set it up for me to go in and talk to him. And so I just went in and told him I'd love to help out if there was any way I could. So,
I'm sure he put you to work quick.
Well, yeah. I can't be there as much as I'd like to, but yeah, I've had a blast with them too this year. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, he was down a while back, and we had a really good conversation. So I know he's glad to have you aboard. Getting to know you a little better, what are your interests and hobbies?
Well, I don't know. This has been a huge transition for me coming down here. I've been in Lee Summit the last 10 years. So I'm really just trying to figure out everything, trying everything new. Like I've started subbing some. I've been running around with all the things with the church. And so I don't have anything at the top of my list anymore right now that I would say is a hobby. I'm just running around trying to enjoy different experiences and see what happens.
Now, Bramer's a pretty small town. Is this a lot like going home?
Yeah, this is Bramer in another part of the state.
That's kind of what I wondered.
Yeah, it feels very similar.
So you come from the NFL. I'm sure there was lots of opportunities to do different things, but you end up being a minister. How did that shake out?
I knew when I was about 12 that's what I was supposed to do. I didn't want to do it. I was scared to death of public speaking. And so I kind of ran from God and from my faith all through college. And then when I got to Buffalo, those three games, that off season, it really hit me. And I knew this is what God was calling me to do. And so I... the next year when we went to camp, I kind of made a deal with God. I said, if I make this team, I'll go to seminary in the winter. If I don't, I'll go to seminary this fall. And I just kind of left it at that. I ended up making the team. And so I started seminary in, I guess that'd be 2011. Started taking a class a year for the next couple of years. And then when football was over, it just kind of led into that and downhill from there.
That's pretty interesting. So I guess traveling through, finding out where you're really supposed to be, and was a weight lifted off your shoulders once you kind of made the decision that this is where I'm going?
No, because then I had to overcome the public speaking. Like that was a legitimate, I had done everything in my life to avoid speaking in front of anybody. Like something like this even would have had me in nerves and everything else. And so I really, like, when I made that decision, it was, all right, this is going to be the biggest challenge ever. Because every time I go up there, I don't know if this is going to work or what's going to happen here. And so for the next couple of years, it took a lot of work and effort to try to overcome that.
So you wasn't lucky enough to get an Aaron to get up there and talk for you?
No. Yeah, no. Yeah, it was difficult.
And then Archie come about because the Methodist Church sent you there?
Yes. Yeah, I didn't have any say in where I went. I mean, I told him I wanted to stay close to my kids.
Right.
Other than that, that was like, I was like, I'll go wherever you want to put me. If you got something you want to put me. I was initially in Drexel. I was there for 6 months. And then the Archie deal, they asked me if I was interested in that, and so I jumped on it. Yeah.
So what do you find is your biggest daily obstacle? It could be in your faith. It could be in balancing home life. Anything stick out to you?
The last couple of years have been very difficult for me. And I haven't really had many responsibilities. And so this has been a huge shift to go from basically nothing ever to something every day, right? Mm-hmm. Full time. And so trying to stay on top of that has been interesting. I'm sure that's a challenge most people are well aware of and like have never made. But I, you know, getting back into the groove of things like that has been interesting, but it's been a lot of fun.
So coming from Bramer would be about like coming from a small town around here. And then you go to Columbia, D1 program. What were some of the obstacles you met when you got to Columbia?
I was a walk-on, first off. And so, man, it's a long story. Like, I got down there, I couldn't bench 225, right?
Okay.
First day, I got smashed. I mean, I'm playing, like you said, a little school. Like, I figured out probably my sophomore year, if I didn't live, well, you were still going to let me play. Like, I was so much bigger than everybody else. And so I kind of cheated it and never lifted like I should have. And so when I got there, I couldn't bench 225. I literally had no idea what I was doing. I'd been taught to block with my shoulder pads all the time, couldn't use my hands. And so that was a whole new change. I wasn't a great high school football player. I played because my dad made me. I tried quitting after my freshman year of high school, but he wouldn't let me. And so it went down there. I played extremely well my first camp to the point I got a scholarship third day of school. And then the next 2 years were very difficult because that was when all the coaching started to catch up and trying to work through all that. And trying to improve. And so I played better in my first camp than I did until my junior year. And then, I don't know, it was a daily grind trying to make that leap, though, for sure.
That's what I could only imagine is you went from being a pretty big fish in a small pond to...
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's like I had told my high school girlfriend, like, the day I left, I'll be back next week. I had no idea I signed up for a year-round job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get down there and realize I'm not coming back till Christmas. Like, and it was like, what did I sign up for here? And so I didn't have any idea how big of a commitment that was or how much work it was going to take. It just happened to be right place, right time is the only way I really know how to explain it, because I got an incredible opportunity and somehow took advantage of it when I didn't know what I was doing.
Now, the years you were there, Missouri was very good.
Yeah, I got to be there for a very good time. Yeah.
Yes. So what are the advantages of playing for a D1 school that's performing very well, as opposed to a small division?
Everybody
two.
Was watching us. I don't get drafted if those other guys on the team aren't getting scouts to come watch.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, I would have just fallen by the wayside as a lineman. And so, like, all the eyes got turned on us because we made it all the way to number one that year in the polls, my junior year. And we had some incredible players, like you said. Chase almost won the Heisman that year. You know, we had 3 or 4 first-round picks. And so it was a very exciting time. And I think that helped my career. I don't think I play in the NFL with those guys not on my team, because it got the scouts to watching our film, which then gave them a chance to find me. And so that would be the biggest one that jumps out, I think.
I was wondering also the availability of trainers and food. And did you live the normal college lifestyle, or was it a little better being on the football team?
Well, that's a tough question there. Like, 'cause we always wanted to know, what's it like to be a normal college kid, right? Because mm-hmm. we've got, I mean, probably 300 days a year, we're being told where to be, when to be there, and what to do at all times, 24/7. And so there's a big part of us that always wonder, what's it like just to be a college student, go to class and go home and do whatever you want? Whereas we always had something else we had to do. But we did. It did come with a lot of perks, don't get me wrong. Like, and trying to compare it to Bramer was impossible because it was, like you said, I mean, we didn't have trainers at Bramer. We didn't have 95% of the stuff that we did at Mizzou. And so it was kind of a night and day difference.
Seems like the world got a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah, a lot bigger.
So throughout your career, high school, all the way through the pros, even now, what do you feel like might be your biggest setback or failure?
Ooh. I mean, I was not thrilled with how my Chiefs career played out. I never got into a real game there. I played in the 8 preseason games we had in the 2 years. Right, and that's one of those deals where in the back of my mind, I know, just don't mess this up, right? You've got it set up. You're closer to home now than you were in college. This is the team you've grown up rooting for. And so in some ways that got to be an added pressure. Right? Just don't – like when I got to Buffalo, I didn't care if I got cut. I'll go somewhere else. That's fine. But here it was like, all right, don't get cut. I can't – I have to make this team. And that only contributed to me continuing to play worse because I had too many things I was focused on that I couldn't actually control. That makes sense.
It does. So with all the setbacks and failures and your success, what drove you? I mean, if you don't love it, you would
have failure.
Okay.
As a lineman, there's not a lot you do in football that's a lot of fun, right? You bang your heads into something, you joke somewhere else, you do it again, and you just kind of keep doing it. And so, football itself wasn't this, you know, super exciting or fun game, but I hated losing. And I couldn't go out there and not give it everything I had. And then, you know, when we start winning, that makes it that much more fun. I would go back and play again if I could, don't get me wrong. But the fear of failure, like, I never wanted my guy to be the one that got our Heisman potential quarterback hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I would do whatever I had to make sure my guy couldn't be the one that got that made that hit or whatever, because that was probably what motivated me as much as anything. Don't let my guy be the one.
And that carried over to the NFL well?
No.
It did not?
Not at all. No.
Okay.
Then you got to factor in all the spread linemen. So basically everything I learned at Mizzou with the 5-foot splits didn't translate. It didn't work. I got to the NFL. And the things that had made me successful at Mizzou, I didn't have the space to do. I mean, I was, you think 5-foot splits, quarterback drops 7-8 yards. I mean, I'm a long ways from him out there at tackle. Mm-hmm. And when you shorten that all down in the NFL, like I started, I couldn't play tackle with what I found. I could play guard. I could play center. I couldn't play tackle. And trying to just not mess up was impossible in the NFL. I mean, those guys are, you're going against, you never know who you're going against, Pro Bowl guys, whatever. Not ever messing up is not an option. Whereas sometimes in college, you can play teams that, you know, you had the chance to play a perfect game if you came out and played right. Whereas that wasn't always an option when you're going against, you know, some Pro Bowl player across from you.
So played up there with Giants. So to stick with the land of the Giants theme, mm-hmm. and you're a minister. You know, you've kind of lived a little bit of this, maybe. Why do you think David grabbed 5 stones when he went to meet Goliath?
I assume in case he missed. That's a whole fascinating story there.
It is, very much.
And that's why I want to do a sermon series on this particular story as soon as I can, probably at the beginning of the new year. Because I don't know, I feel like that story always has gotten flipped into this underdog story, but it's like that sling he's got. They're talking about you could throw a tennis ball sized rock 100 yards or 100 miles an hour. I mean, he's got a handgun he brought to a little knife fight here, and I assume it was Casey missed that first sling, but I don't think he was ever going to get close enough to Goliath to let Goliath actually touch him. And so
that's not the answer. That's not the answer I was expecting you to say. I know there's that's why I threw it in. It's not a conspiracy theory, but it kind of could fall along them lines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's multiple ideas out there. The fact that Goliath had four brothers is one.
Or the rest of the army. Yeah, you never know what's coming. Yeah,
you know, it talks about in Samuel that he had four brothers. Some of them equate it to it being symbolic. Some of them lean towards you a little bit. Better to be prepared than unprepared. I just kind of thought I'd pick your brain on that. It's not the kid story that we have made it out to be.
No, yeah.
And you live in that role of, you know, playing against these just genetic gifts. I guess maybe might embed that story to you a little bit more than maybe some other people.
So me and my kids, we got really into watching Andre the Giant.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so there's this deal where Andre fights Chuck Webner. Right? He picks Chuck Webner up 6'5", 240, and chucks him out of the ring. Right? And so that was when I got to think about this. I'm like, all right, what's Goliath going to do to this little bitty David if he can actually get his hands on him? I'm like, I think he's probably going to rip him apart. And so then, I don't know. But I don't know. I would assume it's in case he missed, but that would be about all I could go with.
And I wasn't there. I can't tell
me
you
neither.
Why.
Yeah.
I know that Goliath was more than just a man.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
And he had six fingers and six toes, and they say he had two rows of teeth. He wasn't just your everyday average guy you ran into.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I had a couple different questions for you on that, but I thought with you being a minister, I might go that way with it.
There you go.
So what do you feel like makes you unique? What sets you up to be a good minister at Archie? What sets you up to be a good football player, a good teammate?
Well, in football, obviously part of it was the size, right? I mean, I had an advantage here that some people don't. You've got to run a long ways to get just around me, period. And I never really, like, I didn't want to be interviewed. I said, I didn't like public speaking. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And so I was happy to just do my job and let me leave me alone. And I don't care. You know, you can have all the glory. You can have all the limelight. I want to do my job and get out of here. And I've tried to carry that over into the ministry. You know, this is not something I would have chose for myself. I got tired of running from God. And so, you know, for the longest time, I've never really cared. Do you listen to me or not? I'm doing this because I feel like it's what God asked me to do. And that's the only reason. And so I feel like that has helped me. I also feel like, having a limited vocabulary helps me, right? Because I'm not going to use words you got to think about because I don't know any. And so, I'm going to speak in a very plain and generic way that you should be able to follow pretty easy.
So the mindset you had, I mean, you worked in an environment of just genetic superhumans. When you went to work every day, it's not like most of us going to work every day. Yeah. It's a total different mindset. How did you have to carry yourself? How did you have to prepare yourself mentally to do that job day in, day out?
Well, the Chiefs did a good job of it, of making sure you knew that every day you could get cut, right? So you weren't promised tomorrow. You weren't promised this afternoon. And so you knew you had to be ready to roll as soon as you got there every morning. And especially as a backup, it wasn't like I could let my play speak for itself. If I didn't bring my very best that day, I wasn't promised tomorrow. And so that was kind of what fueled me as much as anything. I didn't want to go out there and get embarrassed. I didn't want to go out there and get beat. And I knew if I didn't give it my best, I probably wouldn't be there. And so, I don't know. That's just kind of how I tried to approach it each day.
Seeing the people that were there and what they did to get there, how they were built. You know, we always tell kids, you can be anything you want. In that environment, can you?
No. No. The great thing about football is there's a spot for everybody of any size, but I couldn't have played a lot of other positions, right? I didn't have the natural athletic ability to play tackle in the NFL. And so you need some God-given talents and gifts, but then you also got to work them. And You know, there were guys that showed up, and we had a D tackle in Buffalo that was probably 6'1" that was unbelievable. I mean, he was impossible to block. And so maybe I'm wrong in saying no, but it's also like, you know, not just anybody can make that leap. There were guys that, you know, came out at Mizzou, especially that you kind of worried we're going to get hurt. Like if they're not careful here, they're just not big enough. And so, you know, it takes a lot of different factors to work.
That's just sitting here next to you, seeing how big you are. Genetics and God-given talent has to be there.
Yeah.
It would seem like.
Yeah.
You're not going to take somebody that's tripping over their own feet and work hard and make it there.
Well, and that's why, like, I've tried telling some of the guys at Archie, like, you're just a little too light. Like, you can go out there, you can be as strong as you want. You can go out there and play as hard as you want. But at the end of the day, you're not quite heavy enough to play this. And that's where, I mean, at Mizzou especially, that got compounded even more. Like, you just couldn't come out there at 270 and play on the offensive line. It just wasn't going to happen. And so you had to have, you know, some God-given size and talent that you can't just naturally develop, I don't think.
I feel like that's a pretty honest answer. I don't know that everybody wants to hear that, but no, I think there's a lot of truth in what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you can always go prove me wrong, yeah, you know, and go out and do it, and there's guys that do. You're gonna have to be in the right spot at the right time, which I was myself. If I'd gone to Mizzou any other year, it probably wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be there at a very good time, and so, you know, for every guy I say no, there's no way, right? I could be proven wrong too. So
anything can happen.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Looking at numbers.
Yeah.
How are you able to balance success and knowing the duration was short, even with a great career? The duration short.
Well, as a lineman, I never felt like there was a whole lot I could do, right? All I could do was block my guy. It was on chase to pass it, and mm-hmm. got receivers to catch it. Like, so whether we won or lost, I kind of felt like it was out of my hands. All I can do is go out here and block my guy and hope that everybody else does their job and we'll be fine. And so I mean, we had some great leaders at Mizzou. We had some great players. And so we just kind of locked in on, we're going to do our part and we're going to trust you to do yours. And we just, you know, whether we won or lost, we didn't feel like it was really in our control. So we didn't get too high. We didn't get too low. And Pinkel did a good job staying on us and keeping us locked in and motivated.
What would you say is your biggest fear in ministry, in life? Either one, both?
I mean, for a long time, it was failure. Like, if I did something, I did not want to not be successful, right? And that would fuel me as much as anything. I eventually learned that, like, there's only so long you can play with fear like that before it'll come back and bite you. And so I don't know what mine would be right now. I kind of feel like right now I don't have any idea what I'm doing half the time. I'm just running around having fun, trying to enjoy this experience. And so I may have a different answer for you on what my fear would be in 6 months, but right now I'm kind of doing all right with that.
So you said you kind of knew the calling to be a minister was on you about 12. Was it just a feeling, or did you have an aha moment? What?
It's one of those deals where I just knew that's what God was telling me I wanted to do, right? And so at first, I was kind of excited, but then I quickly realized, like, you don't really look like a pastor. You don't like being in people. Like, you're scared of public speaking. How's this possibly going to work? Right. And so then I spent several years praying, like, God, this has got to be wrong. Right. Like, there's no way this is what I'm actually going to be able to do. And that feeling wouldn't go away. Right. And so it kept getting confirmed. And then when it came back after college, I spent another year, like, evaluating it, and it was like everybody I talked to was telling me about, they've always known this is what they're supposed to do with their life, right? Every book I read was like that, every movie. And then I went home one time, I can't even remember where I went, but somebody had preached and said they were going into the ministry, and I just thought, all right, I can run from this forever, or I can step through and find out, like, what's happening here. Like, do I have it or not? And a big part of me, when I stepped through that, tried it, I was hoping I would fail. Like, just tell me I can't do this and I'll go on and I'll find, you know, I'll move on with life. But obviously it didn't exactly happen, even though it was bad at first, but it got better.
Well, I think sometimes God picks unlikely people to do the things he wants.
I don't disagree.
So with all the connections and opportunities that you made over the years, was it just that nagging feeling that drew you into the ministry as opposed to doing something that probably would have made you more money?
Well, if I thought I could do anything else and not feel like I was running from God, I would have, for sure. I'm finding more fulfillment in this than I ever dreamed I would have. I'm finding more enjoyment than I ever dreamed I would have. But it was a struggle for years. I mean, for 3 or 4 years, like literally every time I got to preach, I was like, I don't know if words are coming out here. Right? I think this is all an act of faith. And it's not really what I want to do. But like I said, just like in football, where I didn't want to go out and get beat and give a bad performance, I put everything I had into making sure I was as prepared for each sermon as I could be. And then I just let it go out and see what happened. But if I, like, I mean, I spent years trying to find anything else. I'd have done anything else to avoid it at this. I kept feeling like I was going to be running from God if I did. And so I got tired of that.
Moving into what you had said earlier, when you got to Missouri, you couldn't bench 225. I've watched a few interviews with Phil Matus. He was the strength coach at Ohio State.
Okay.
For a while, the little time Joe Burrows was there.
Okay.
And then from there, he went to Boston College. And his interviews are amazing. But he talks about kids like you. We just expect everybody, when they get there, can do these incredible things in the weight room. But that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
What did Missouri do, their strength coaches do, to help put you on the path for success?
Well, you'd had to get Coach Ivy in here to explain that fully. I mean, as much as anything, it was, from my perspective at least, it was, okay, I've now got to lift 3 to 4 times a week. I don't get a say in this. I don't get to skip it. And so at the end of my career, I know they gave me this manila folder that had all my workouts ever in it. I mean, and the stack was enormous. And I just remember thinking, like, that's why I'm so strong, is all those workouts, all those times I didn't feel like doing it, that I didn't have a choice, eventually added up and paid off. And so I don't, like, maybe I'm wrong in that there was specific exercises or whatever that we did, but I feel like as much as anything, it was, you know, I put on 100 pounds and I started lifting 3 to 4 times a week, and I didn't have a say in it. I couldn't skip it. And eventually it started to pay off.
So eating and showing up.
Yeah.
And letting them get you there.
That was as much of the battle as anything. Yeah, because there wouldn't have been too many times in college that I thought, I want to go work out. I can't wait to go lift weight. Like, I mean, most days you had to make yourself go in there and do it and give it your all. And it wasn't always fun. It wasn't always easy, but like it was the sacrifice you had to play if you ever wanted to play. And so, over time it added up, and that's about all I could say.
So when you got drafted by the Chiefs, did you go through the combine?
No, thankfully.
I had a few questions on that in case you did. I'm really curious to the combine prep, but being you didn't have to, kind of takes them off the board. It was probably a relief knowing you didn't have to go.
Well, I didn't think I'd get drafted, right? And so I was disappointed at the time. Looking back, I'm very glad, because I probably would have ran myself out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was running like a 4.5 40.
That was what I was going
to
ask.
And probably, you know, 23 to 24 reps. And so it wouldn't have been anything that jumped off the charts. And if I hadn't have done those numbers, if I'd done any worse, now we're talking about we don't even want him. And so looking back, I feel very fortunate I didn't get to go. At the time, I was kind of upset about it, and I thought it would probably mean I wouldn't get to play.
So you talked about all the pressure you put on yourself, especially in Kansas City, to stay in the NFL. I know I've worked around some other guys that played in the NFL for short periods of time, and they talk about the lengths guys will go to stay at that elite level. Did you have any pressure on you to maybe do more than what you were doing to stay there?
No, because the call of the ministry came, right? And it was one of those deals where football, like, it took me a long ways. It opened a lot of doors. But I was content walking away. I wasn't content going out and getting beat. But I was content, if my career came to an end, of walking away. And there was part of me that felt like it's time. But I couldn't bring myself to, like, how am I just going to say I'm done playing in the NFL? I don't want to play anymore. I'm walking away. And so I stuck it out for longer than I, quote unquote, wanted to. But it wasn't like, all right, I'm going to go to these extreme lengths to try to stay. I felt like as long as God was giving me that platform, I needed to give everything I had. But that was all. I felt content leaving it at that. Like, if I can't do it, I can't do it. And so, yeah, I didn't do anything too extreme, I don't think.
So when it's all over and you're standing in front of God and you're talking about your life, what will be your vision of success?
I mean, I want to say, you know, if I can stand there and say that I tried to do what you asked me to do, God, right? Whether that's going into the ministry, whether that's living my day-to-day life, or whatever. Like, I'm content with what happened in football. I don't feel like that's undone. I don't feel like I needed to do more or less. And so I feel like it's at this point, it's just, did I make the most of the opportunities I had and use the talents I had to the fullest extent, or did I waste them? Did I run from God again, or how did that all play out? Would probably be my answer at the end.
How do you carry that over to the people in your congregation, that to heed God's calling and follow in what they're being asked to do?
It's a challenge. I mean, like I said, I ran from God for 5 years trying to get out of doing what I knew God was telling me I needed to do. And I didn't even at the time feel like, you know, through college, I never felt like I'm supposed to start preaching now, right? I wanted so little to do with it, I completely ran from my faith altogether. And so it's a challenge to be willing to take that step outside of your comfort zone. And really the only way you can do it is by doing it once and seeing, right, and building your confidence there, right? And so that's been my focus the first couple months here at Archie is just, man, you got to take that step and try it and go from there, right? And until you're willing to, if you're not willing to take that step outside of your comfort zone, right, you let your fears, your doubts continue to build, and you end up convincing yourself you can't do something. I fully did not believe there's any way I could speak in front of people. But that was all in my head, right? Mm-hmm. I made that all up. And it's like, you know, we can convince ourselves of about anything. I don't believe God will call you to something you can't actually do. And so it's about taking that step and realizing all God's asking you to do is what you know how to do. Just use your talents and gifts. God will take care of the miracle part. You just do your part and allow him to do his. But that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of fears and doubts that come with that, and stepping out there and trying something new. And so, that's kind of been my focus, is just trust me, just give it a try and let's go from there.
What do you think might be something holding you back from being the person you want to be, whether that be in your faith, in your daily life?
Probably consistency. Like I said, I mean, we went so long at Mizzou of here's where you have to be, here's what you have to do, and you're expected to do your best all day, every day, right? I was talking with my brother a couple months back, and I told him, like, I just can't imagine being busy all the time. And he's like, well, nobody's ever busier than you were in college. I mean, they literally told you 24/7 where to go and what to do. And I never really thought about how few decisions we actually got to make during that. And so when football got over, I went through a phase where I kept working out, but I didn't want nobody telling me what to do. I didn't want to go to meetings where I got told what I had to do. And so I, you know, got to this point where, you know, all through college, day in and day out, I was pretty consistent. Like, this is what I had to do. I didn't have a choice. Whereas now I get a little more say, it's a little more difficult to have that focus and stay consistent day in and day out, especially when it's not something exciting or it's just a normal everyday day, you know, coming up, to still go about doing what you need to do, whether that's, you know, with school or your kids or your work or whatever, so that you're not behind the eight ball then at some other point trying to play catch up. And so that would probably be what the part I'm still trying to work through or figure out myself.
I think a lot of people probably struggle with it. Yeah. I could say I'm probably in the same boat. If you lose that schedule, it's hard to.
Oh, yeah.
So coming to the area, you were at Drexel for a while, like you said. You got to know Phil, Coach Dean over there. Then you come here, you get to know Coach Smith. And now it's all coming together this Friday night.
It'll be very exciting, won't it?
Yeah, very exciting game.
Yeah.
Are you getting to where you kind of understand the rivalry?
I mean, I get it from a big picture perspective, but like I was at – so my first time in this part of the state was last year, their playoff game. Mm-hmm. Where I had just found out I was going to get appointed to Drexel in January. And so my buddy was the pastor at Archie, one of my close friends. And so we went over and saw the first half. And so that was my first ever exposure to any part of this part of the state. And so from like big, I mean, I remember playing Kansas. I know what a big rival is. But at the same time, like, it'll be fun for me to see it as an outsider, right? I've heard all these exciting stories from mainly from the Archie side, but I also heard about it some in Drexel too. We didn't have a lot of the football team that was there at church, but I heard about it from that side too. And so I'm excited to see it myself because I feel like I'm along for the ride. I'm getting to just enjoy this and see what happens here. And so I'm really looking forward to Friday night though.
Yeah, you have two competitive coaches that are really passionate about their programs.
Two very good programs, yes.
And if I wasn't working on PrepCast for Adrian, I would be there Friday night. I'm sad to miss it because I got kids that come to the gym that are going to be involved.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a great game. So how do you go about preparing the athletes?
See, I don't get to be as involved as I'd like to be. Mm-hmm. I wish I could be there every day. I just, with my schedule with the kids and church, I can't. And so what I've kind of told, like Seibert especially, is, you know, you guys coach them up, I'll be the cheerleader, right? I'm coming around. If I see something, like I know what I'm looking for technique-wise and all that. And so if I see it, I'll correct it. But as much as anything, I'm just trying to cheer these kids on and let them know, like, you guys are a lot better than you realize, right? Like, just go out there and have fun with this. Playing wasn't something I always enjoyed, right? And so this, like, the last 2 years have been so much fun for me because, you know, like, that pressure isn't there. I'm here just to have fun and to watch this and to see how good we can be. But at the end of the day, you know, the pressure of winning and losing isn't solely on me. And so, like, that, I just had kind of let that go. And so that's where I've just been trying to encourage them, like, go and play your game and let's find out what happens. There's no reason to psych yourselves out or to be nervous or worried or anything else. Just go out there and play the best of your abilities and let's see what happens.
That kind of leads into my next question a little bit. So as the season goes on, anticipation's building. Coach Smith is, I'm sure, taking on more and more pressure.
Mm-hmm.
How are you able to support him, keep anxiety down?
Well, I don't know if you can for the head coach, right?
Yeah, I mean,
like, they're naturally going to have all the weight coming down on them. As much as anything, I've tried not to let the weight come to me. Like, and so – all right, let me stay loose. If nobody else stays loose, let me stay loose. Not that we're having problems, you know, staying loose, but like that's been my thinking here is like, you know, if we get down like last week in the first half, like that's all right. You know, somebody's got to stay loose over here at least. And so, you know, I just feel like I get to approach this completely different than him and Coach Dean and all the other coaches do because the wins and losses aren't on my shoulders, right? It doesn't change my day one way or the other. I get to be here and enjoy watching this great game and seeing these kids play. And so, you know, I'm just trying not to let the pressure get to you. I mean, because you can psych yourself out on this and convince yourselves of everything, but at the end of the day, it's still two high school teams going against each other, right? And anything can happen, and there's no reason to, you know, the world's not going to end no matter what happens Friday night. It's
right.
Going to be a lot of fun, and so let's just go out and have fun with this and see what happens rather than psyching ourselves out.
It's a great position to be in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's fun. That's what made Bramer last year so much fun. I had no idea what plays Bramer was running. I had no idea, like, what they were doing on defense. I was just there as a cheerleader trying to see if there was anything I saw that I could help with. And I had a blast with it. And so that's kind of what I tried to carry over into this year. Like, what do you need from me? What can I do to help you? I don't really care what, you know – I'll help tape. I'll go film. Whatever you want me to do, just let me know, and let's go from there.
I know some of the Archie boys come here.
Yeah.
Phenomenal kids.
Oh, they're a great team. Yeah,
and
great kids.
Talking to Dean and the passion he carries over, I know he's got phenomenal kids.
Oh yeah,
I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
Oh yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It ought to be a blast.
Well, I appreciate you coming down. I know you come down after practice.
I appreciate you having me.
And just sitting down talking about your faith and football and, and your life. Hopefully a few people watch it. And
yeah, hopefully.
You have some butts in the seats on Sunday.
Yeah, it'd be good. That would be good. I appreciate you having me.
Well, thank you again, and good luck Friday night and everything you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Take an L no more. Never take a damn thing slow. All I know is chase this down.